On 3 separate occasions, I begged the Lord to take it from me. Each time He said to me, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." So now I'm happy to brag about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can act through me. That's why I delight in my weaknesses and in the insults and privations, persecutions and difficulties that I suffer for Christ, because when I am weak, then I am strong. Weakness wanted. Today, I want to give you a tip in this beautiful morning, perhaps already a beautiful morning. How many times have you tried to do things your way? And in the end, we do not get the best results. The only thing we get is some guilt, some frustration for not reaching the goals. When it comes to God, we feel that we do not reach to meet His standards. And you know why? Something like this. Because God's standards are beyond our reach. This only makes me think one thing. There is nothing we can do that pleases God. Because from the beginning of creation, when men disobeyed, He turned away from God completely. He did not take advantage of the blessings of having a personal and close relationship with Him, making the decision to disobey and try things His way. Today, perhaps we are living the consequences of decisions we have made to do things our way. Yes, perhaps we are looking for the guilty ones. We want to quench the thirst, not to feed bad, but to be able to justify ourselves all the time. Every time we do something and fail, we are always looking for a way to justify ourselves in order not to feel bad. And we fill our heads with excuses. Simply, the decision we made was because of others. Other people or situations arose. And it was simply the way in which I could react. But no, we cannot deceive ourselves. Because deep down, we know that the people, the situations, not even God Himself had anything to do with it. It was something that we chose. The Apostle Paul made many mistakes in life. At some point, he thought he was doing well and pleasing God by persecuting the Christians and ending them. He thought that it was fine until he had an encounter with Jesus. Paul was on his way to persecute the Christians. He had all the endorsements of those religious leaders. He considered that he was pleasing God, and he had a strong conviction to think that he was doing things the right way. At that moment, when he was on his way with the soldiers, a shining light appears in his way. The progress hinders him. This light was so resplendent that his eyes could not bear such light. Paul, falling from the horse, fell to the ground. Someone who could not see is blind. Paul could not hear and only heard a strong voice in that place. This was a wonderful experience that the Apostle Paul had, and that marked him forever. Jesus appears to Paul and says to him, "Paul, because you persecute me, it's hard for me to give things against this thing." Paul has a personal encounter with Jesus, and the first thing that Jesus makes him see is that he thinks he is correct. But in the end, it's not. In other words, I could paraphrase it. Jesus saying to Paul, "Paul, you consider yourself a wise person, that you are right. You consider yourself a holy, religious person, and that you are fulfilling what God wants, but you are really doing the opposite. You are getting up contrary to what comes from God, Paul." At that time, he was called Saul. And Jesus ends up saying to him, "Because you are persecuting me." Saul asked, "Who are you, Lord?" Jesus said to him, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." At that moment, he was blind. He could not see. He could only hear. He lasted several days like this. And I imagine Paul at that time lasted about 3 days blind. but they were a few days that led him to meditate. That blindness was a purpose in order to close his eyes to those distractions that could have taken him away and made him forget such a commendable experience. That's why, my beloved friends, God many times has to intervene in our life and to get away from everything because we lend our sight to let ourselves be carried away by everything that this world places in front of us. And then the Lord has to blind us so that we can reflect and realize that faith goes beyond what our eyes can see. You cannot believe at the expense of what you see. In fact, when you are in God, what we see must be the result of the faith that God has placed in us. We do not see in order to believe. We see because we already believe. And that's why Paul in those days was without seeing and confined in a place, hidden. God sent him to a person to pray for him, and they fell like scales from his eye, and he could see. But you know, now his perspective on life was not just anyone. He was seeing how God wanted him to see. I don't know what is happening today with you, but perhaps you are going through that moment like Paul. You are confined in a place alone. Alone, you feel that that vision is gone. You feel that that strength has run out and that you don't know where to go. You do not know where to walk. You do not know what to do. Simply, you have had to stay still in one place and wait for what God can do. But you know something? I have the best news. Everything has been allowed by God around you to take you to this moment, for God to capture your attention. And remember, be sure that He has always been there with you, that He is the one who has kept you, that He is the one who has sustained you all this time. You are not alone. His presence is always with you, day and night. And that this is something that you had not seen because you were trying to do things your way. But like Paul, when he was there, now just like Paul, or the same man who was tested in a tremendous way called Job. And that in the middle of the test, he had so many questions and struggles in his mind, in his heart. But in the end, he could recognize, by the Lord, I had heard you, but now my eyes see you. You know, it's in critical moments in which the Lord allows us to be treated so that we can recognize His infinite love and mercy, and so that we can really see. No longer see from the perspective in which the world has wanted to place us and teach us things about life, but to see from their perspective, to know things as they are in reality. Now we are no longer like Saul. Now we have changed. A man named Paul, who dedicated himself to serving the Lord, but even in the midst of serving God, he realized that he had flaws because he did not see it the way before he saw the others had flaws. But that he had the encounter with Jesus, he realized that the religion he had was not enough. What he thought was good was not really good. Now Paul was realizing what his condition really was. The condition of a man, a sinful man, a man who could not do things under his own strength in order to please God. Now Paul has a sting. He calls it that, an expression through which he tries to show us that it was constantly something that operated in him. Some say that it's a disease. Others say that they were dreams that he had and that he could not sleep. In short, the Bible does not express what is that sting, but it was something that reminded Paul that he could not alone. It was something that made him feel small. Have you ever felt this way? Have you ever felt that everything you are dealing with is not enough. Everything you try to do is not enough. This is how he felt. And in many moments, we just want to leave it there. He asked the Lord 3 times, please take this away from me. Now, God does not allow it in his life because he wanted to see Paul suffer. Sometimes situations along the way, situations that are presented to us, are allowed as for God to remind us how small we are. This pandemic, this coronavirus, shows us that as something so microscopic, it can make us see how small and how weak and fragile we are as human beings. The tremendous thing is that there are still many with a hardened heart. They do not surrender to God. But for those who have, today I have good news for you. Perhaps the situations around you will take a little longer. Perhaps many things will not. They are going to change. But what I can tell you, I have to come to give you advice. Paul heard. God responded to Paul. Okay? I will lift you up in victory, and I will remove what you call a sting so that you go ahead. No. Do you know what God said to him? Go ahead, because this thing will remind you every day that it's not about you. It's about me. And that the battles you are going to face, they are not going to overcome you. I will overcome them for you. In other words, Paul, my grace, it's enough for you. And do you know what that grace means? God was saying to him, it's me through you. It's not you. Every time you try it in your own strength, you will remind yourself that you will not be able to. Then, when you learn to surrender and let me act and work for you, my grace is my power over you, operating in your life, so that through me and the faith that I am giving you, you can do things that in your own strength you would never been able to achieve. May my grace suffice you. So Paul recognized that weakness was not a problem. It was necessary to recognize that everything is about God and that alone we cannot. Father, I bless every person who has received this word at this time. I ask you to encourage, lift, and strengthen them. Lord, help us understand that it's not about us, that today we can throw in the towel, but simply to recognize that we cannot alone. And that it's all about you. And then, when we are weak, when we recognize that we are weak, we can glorify as Paul did, knowing that you are looking for the weak to perfect yourself in them. Thank you, Lord. Amen. This was a translation from your pastor and friend, Elias Hoyer. He spoke to you. Remember, God always arrives just in time, and while there is life, there is hope.